This episode is covered by BIPCOT No Government License, which allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I think there's also might be some salty language in this episode, so yeah. Listen to it before you have your kids listen to it. Capiche? This is the Road Gunner Podcast, coming at you with 80,000 pounds of concealed carry. This is your favorite co-host, Travis. I'm in my currently mobile studio on a Monday morning. I think I got a good show for you. I had Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends on. We had an erratic, sporadic conversation about all sorts of interesting stuff, and I hope you get something out of it. I had a good time, and that's, I guess, that's all it matter. I have a head cold. I was on some medication, and I got done with the podcast. I hit saved. I hopped in bed and had a kind of a restless sleep, and I woke up in the morning and went, what the hell did we even talk about? I had to go back and listen to it. I mentioned I mentioned Mormonism quite a bit. Sorry about that. That's kind of weird. It just kept coming up, but I thought I'd gotten past that. My oldest daughter is actually getting married next month. We're pretty busy with that, and it must have been on my mind. But he brought it up too a couple times. But yeah, I apologize, man. I mean, anybody that wants to be a member of any church or has any kind of faith, I got no problem with that. You go right ahead if it helps you, feels like it makes you a better person, then do it. For me though, it's just kind of a gilded cage. It kept my mind from venturing into places that are a little more healthier for me. So, but I, you know, it was fun. The Freedom Fiends is a great show. They put on, you know, 4 to 6 episodes a week, and they're different co-hosts. And I suggest you listen to it. It'll challenge some of your thinking. And I think that's how we become free. So you got to free your mind before you can free other people. And you gotta decide you're gonna do something different. So it's a good show. We'll see. Oh, I also mentioned Masoud Ayoub in this. I was trying to get into Masoud Ayoub conversation about training. It kind of went in a different direction there too. But I loved the fact that he knows Masoud Ayoub, and we talked a little bit about him. And I hope I didn't sound negative at all. I love Mass, and I love Gail Pepin and what they do. And you know, they teach average citizens like ourselves, citizens of the nation, you know, they teach guys and gals like us the language of the state, so you can defend yourself against the state. And I think that's very admirable, and I think it's great that they teach good firearms training and good advice. And he really does teach the non-aggression principle when he teaches guns. And look, you're not the aggressor. Don't insert yourself in situations that you should not be in, and just be wise. And if you happen to have to use your gun to defend your life, then you got a terminology, language that you can speak to the police with, and you're gonna be able to speak their language, man. And then they're gonna pay attention. You're probably gonna be much better. Well, you are gonna be much better off. You're not gonna end up in a cage the rest of your life if you play it right. And if you follow Mass's instructions. So I strongly suggest you find a Mag 40 somewhere and you take it. You'll be a better person with your personal firearm. You'll test your equipment, and you'll want to get better equipment, like Concealment Solutions holster. Inside the waistband or outside the waistband, check out Concealment Solutions holsters at concealmentsolutions.com. Get your mom on. Yeah. Also, you want to carry a spare magazine, so go to magholder.com, and you can use the coupon code in both of those places, CHICKENHAMMER, to get a 10% discount. Chaz is putting on a Mag 20 live fire session April 23rd to 24th, 2016, in the Lonesome Oaks Range in Centerton, Arkansas. Please check that out. You can find the links on the website at roadgunnerpodcast.com. And he's also going to be attending and participating in the Beyond Concealed Carry Critical Trauma Care with Ben Brunham and Ken Kowalski. So that will be in also Centerton, Arkansas. So wish I could be there with you guys. That sounds like a lot of fun, and I can definitely use more training. We all can. This is a perishable skill that we have. So yeah, get on it. Check out Lone Wolf Distributors and Bolt Defense. Bolt Defense if you want any more training. So hey, I think I covered all the sponsors. And I threw out my apologetics, and if anybody has any criticisms, please email me or Chaz. All right. I hope you have fun. I had a blast doing this. Enjoy the show. Okay, another little caveat I forgot about. Okay, so I'm a Freedom Fiends fan, and a few months back I started a Twitter account. Twitter account called Cantwell Goo. Yeah, Cantwell Googlin. Basically, it was a search terms of this... used to be a libertarian. He's kind of an alt-right guy now. Christopher Cantwell. Crazy, insane guy. I never liked him, really, because of his gun handling skills, for one. But some of his rhetoric is violent. And, yeah, I don't like it anyway. We make fun of the guy. And so I created this account, and I started making memes. And I got better and better at it. I've gotten better and better at it after time. And you know, I'm anonymous. And, well, Michael Dean, he kind of coaxed it out of me finally. Through private message, who are you and what, you know, who are you? I want to know you. What's your story? So finally I decided to tell him, and he said, oh, cool, you know, can I get you some Freedom Fiends buttons? They have some propaganda buttons that if you know me personally, you've probably seen me pass them out or wear them myself at gun matches or whatever. But like, nah, I got buttons, but... Dude, I'd love an interview with you. And he's done so much stuff, Michael Dean, that... Yeah, anyway. You'll hear about it on the podcast, but... but that's Cantwell Goo. And we kind of collaborated on this weird, disgusting-looking meme to sort of show what and who Chris Cantwell is. And we've just been having fun with it and laughing about it. So that's what we talked about. Yeah. Caveat's over. Have a good time.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Okay.
Yep.
We make dank memes together, brother.
We do.
That's all I gotta say.
Well, we can't really say who you are. We're not going to admit you're Cantwell Goo. But that guy's talented, man. Cantwell Goo blows me away. Now, you're not him, but if you were him, he doesn't use Photoshop, right? You know what he uses, right? You read about it?
Yeah, I heard he uses PixArt.
What's that?
It's an iPhone app. That's all it is, a little iPhone. So he does all that stuff off his little iPhone.
With his finger?
With my finger.
With his finger. His finger. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, with his finger. That's all he does.
Yep.
Yeah. So he makes dank memes doing that.
He does, man. What's Steve Miller use? I know he said, but I didn't pay attention because I don't have an iPhone.
You know what? I don't know what he uses. You know, I think Davi Barker uses
Photoshop.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I'm sick, so hopefully I don't.
You're sick?
Yeah, gosh. Okay. I just have a heckle. I got a little bit of a cough.
All right. What do you want to know, man?
I'm going to make you feel right at home. Okay.
You know, make me ride home.
I'm going to make you feel right at home.
I just did a show of 2 hours. I'm all warmed up.
Oh,
I am
awesome.
Home.
I'm not.
I'm in my happy place. I'm in my safe spot.
What'd you eat? Did you eat some more chicken? I know you like poultry.
No, that's Cantwell. I like that's cereal, man. But I like chicken. Every mammal on earth likes chicken. You know, I mean, it's kind of libertarianism 101, but it's like, if you want animals to not go extinct, don't stop people from breeding them for food. Yeah. Think about it. Like, you know, are chickens or cows in danger of going extinct? No.
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 You have to take care of them because they taste good.
Yep. You got some chickens. I seen.
I got chickens, yeah. Yep. Yeah, they're good, man. They're fun. And they're pretty smart. You can train them, man. All you got to do is make a little noise and they follow you around the yard.
They're not smart.
Like, food.
They're not smart. Thinking you are food is not smart.
Some of them are smarter
than
others.
Parrots are smart. Monkeys are smart.
Yeah.
Great apes are really smart.
Mm-hmm.
They're great apes. Where are you from?
We're great apes.
You're great
Utah.
Ape.
Really? I was born in Utah.
Sounds like a southern accent.
I was born in Utah. I grew up in Idaho, and then I ended up right back in the town I was born in.
You Mormon?
It's kind of weird. I was Mormon. I'm an ex-Mormon.
You got like 40 kids. That's why I asked if you're Mormon. You have 40 kids, and you live in Utah.
Yep. And my 20-year-old daughter is going to get married next month.
You can be a granddaddy. You can be a granddaddy,
she's,
huh?
She's 20, dude. No, man. Yeah. We've had the
talk.
I did a good job indoctrinating her into the faith, I'll tell you that. Because there's no getting her out.
Into what faith? Liberty?
No, Mormonism.
Oh, she's still there?
Yeah.
So she's gonna have, you're gonna have like 40 grandkids too.
Right? Oh god, I hope not, man. I'm gonna inject with one of those stem hormone things.
Man, do you like treating your kids like livestock? That's very liberty minded of you. I like it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yep.
So you used to be like a war hating, gun hating liberal. And then something happened.
Wow!
Tell me a story.
All right, Archie Bunker.
Now you're like a war hating, gun loving liberty guy. So how'd that happen? Tell me a story.
Yeah. Well, saying I'm war hating is kind of a misnomer. I mean, what's a war? It's more than one person fighting more than one person, and that could definitely be done in self defense. I'm all for self defense, up to and including. Up to it, including taking, ears as souvenirs. No, I'm kidding. Up to and including, killing someone who's trying to kill you. Of course, it's legitimate. When I was five, when I was born in 64, I'm 50, going on 52. When I was five, the Vietnam War was going on and I was watching TV and I just knew it was wrong. There's something about it. I just knew it was wrong.
Yeah, it's ugly.
It is ugly.
And they used to show that. They used to show that stuff on TV too, right?
That was the first war where they showed it live. Well, it wasn't live. It was like they had people there with film cameras filming it, and then a couple days later you'd see it. And they also had a scoreboard. This is what I remember the most when I was a kid. It was like our dead, they're dead, like a football scoreboard every night on the news. And it was really bizarre, man.
Yeah, you think if they did that now and they actually showed the footing of the droned wedding party, you think there would be more anti-war people?
I don't know. I think most Americans and most people in general in the world, I think double digits of them, and possibly over 50%, and possibly closer to 90%, have menstrual envy. War is menstrual envy. They want to kill, man. They want to see death. I think if you put the drone wedding parties and the burned babies with their guts coming out, I think half of America would be like, cool, finally good to know what my tax dollars are going for. I support this. People are sick, man. People are
ugly.
Sick. Yeah. I don't know. I think the way to end the war on drugs is to send everybody a bill for it instead of saying, vote for these people who will do this. Like if you actually every month, you, every person got a bill for their share of the war on drugs. I mean, it would be like $1,500, $2,000 a person per month.
Yeah, write that
it
check.
It would end really quick, man. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. You'd be jumping on antiwar.com and giving them coin.
Yeah. But you wanted a story. I mean, if you want the Reader's Digest condensed Michael Dean, I was being anti-war is the thing I've believed in my heart of hearts the most consistently my whole life. And like I said, like I'm not anti self-defense. There may be some times when sending a group of men, and women or whatever resembling a platoon or a battalion to another land or in your land makes sense. But most of the time, most nations do it. It's just to sell weapons, really.
Sure.
And nationalism. But yeah, I could see some points for somewhere. But, let's just say overall I'm anti-war. I'm against it. I'm against this war. I'm against the next war. I mean, if there's a Red Dawn kind of situation, if I'd be out in my front yard shooting Cubans and Russians. Of course I would, I wouldn't let them take me alive. I would die and try to kill 50 of them before they killed me, Why not?
Right. Sure, but, absolutely.
But I'm pretty much anti-war, and I have been since I was about five. So that's the longest consistent thing I've had. But, when I was 12, I was a communist. I believed I was because the thing is, I didn't know anything about history at all. I didn't know about Stalin murdering people and Mao murdering people. I didn't know about murder. I didn't know about that kind of history. I just knew, of course everyone should share everything. It's fair, I mean, really, if you're a communist or a socialist, you're either a sociopath or you're mentally a child. Because, you know, either you're a sociopath who thinks, you know, killing 50 million people for the common good is a good idea, or you're a child who doesn't see that it, that communism always involves killing a lot of people, and you don't see that it doesn't make everyone equal, it makes everyone equally poor. It doesn't. You know how you can tell? I thought of this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this documentary about the Red Army faction. You know who they were?
No.
They were a terrorist, communist, hippie terrorist group in Germany in the 70s through the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 50 people terrorized an entire nation for 20 years. They killed the highest judge in Berlin. I mean, it'd be like killing the top judge in New York City. They kidnapped politicians and killed them, tortured them. They walked into people's houses with machine guns, into politicians' houses, and murdered them, murdered their whole family. And they were – but they were like sexy. I mean, they were like hippies with long hair who smoked weed and like – posed shirtless, the men and the women, and like they really had a lot of followers. Like there were no more than 50 members at a time, but a lot of the young people in the country would like put them up for the night, you know, if they had to when they were on the run, that kind of thing. Give them money, give them food, clothes, shelter.
Sounds like a Chris Cantwell wet dream right there.
Yeah. and you know, and he's a communist now, so it'd be totally be. Yeah. And they were communists, so but they're also sure. Called the Bader-Meinhof group, and there's a film called The Bader-Meinhof Complex that's about them. And the Bader-Meinhof Complex, the term complex refers to sort of a something that happened with them, which was sort of a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing, but it wasn't someone they kidnapped joined them. It was a journalist who was reporting on them joined them. I mean, it would basically be like if Dan Rather, you know, joined the 3%ers and started shooting people. Like, everyone in the country knew who this woman was. She was on the nightly news every night. She was in writing for magazines. Like, everyone knew her, and she joined this group. It's pretty bizarre.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Where did this take place?
Germany. Yeah. And they were anti-fascist but pro-communist, which I don't really understand. But, you know, I mean, you got to remember, this is like 20 years after Hitler was out of power. Or 25 years. Like, there was still some of the people they were killing had made their money under Hitler, like making bombs for Hitler. Like, this is a country that's just like reeling from having, you know, been Nazi, having been wiped out and bombed to the Stone Age, and then like trying to forget they were Nazis. And then there's these young people who are communists blowing them up, saying, "You're Nazis. We're going to blow you up." It's really bizarre that they got away with it for so long. But, you know, it kind of reminded me of I don't know. I guess I thought of that because I was thinking about watching people on, you know, like the thing of like how children think communism makes sense, you know. And these were like acid eating hippies who believed communism was just. And here's how you know that they don't get it, and they don't want, like, you listen to someone like Bernie Sanders, you know, who says he's a socialist. Admits it. He's the only guy that's ever had a remote chance in America as a politician. Like, that's the point we, quote unquote, are at now. But it's like, they don't. What people like Bernie Sanders lie, and they basically say that they want to make everyone middle class. Like, you know, tax the ultra rich, bring them down to upper middle class, and mainly, here's why you should vote for me. Because you're poor, you voters. You're poor and you're almost starving, and I'm going to make you all middle class. No, they're not. Because the buzzword in communism, the buzz dirty word, is bourgeois. You know, they hate the bourgeois. They don't like the bourgeois. They want to eliminate the bourgeois. What does bourgeois mean? It means middle class. It means middle class and upper middle class. And
Uses that word all the time to refer to us.
Yeah, how does he use it?
He uses it as us. He's referring it to us as the peasants, the plebs.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know? No, but he's using it in the sense, I believe he's using it in the sense of like, that's how the elite look at us.
That's how they view us. Yeah, they view us. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But the way communists use it, it's not the plebs. It's the people who are a station or two above you that you want to knock down a few pegs to where you are and take some of their goodies. Because really, the bourgeois, like really what it was bureaucrats. And the funny thing is, communism, you know, it always creates a lot more peasants. It makes people starve in the streets and have bread lines. But it also creates more bourgeois. I mean, think about how many mid-level bureaucrats there were in the Soviet Union. Like, everybody who wasn't starving worked for the government. And they're trying to do that in the United States. They're trying to get it to where everybody has a government job, or their mother or wife or sister has a government job, to the point where, you know, you can't criticize the government because you would starve without them, you know?
Right.
And it's a form of communism and socialism.
I see that now. I can't make comments on Face Beef because I've got all my family and friends and grandmas and uncles and cousins. And
I blocked them all. I defooed them.
Plenty of them are cops. Plenty of them are cops. You did.
Yeah. I didn't really defoo them, and I don't like Molyneux at all. But let's see. My mother's dead. My dad is 94 and can't really use a computer very well. So he doesn't know what I do. Although he came out to visit me a few years ago. I interviewed him on The Fiends. It was pretty nice. That's when I said, what do you think of Barack Obama? And he said, he's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And Neem and I made a hip hop song out of that sample.
Yeah, great. Great song.
So, and then I have like two sisters and a brother who are all like 20 years older than me. Like, my mother and dad were 40 and 43 when I was born. I was a happy accident, raised in love, but I had like two sisters in college and a sister in, you know, a senior in high school when I was born. So, like, I don't really know my siblings. Like, I've probably talked to you more in the past, you know, day than I've talked to my sisters and my brother in the past 6 months combined. I mean, that's not really true. My sister will call me and talk to me for an hour sometimes, but a couple times a year, you know? So they're all inveterate liberals, and none of them will get in a discussion about politics with me because I kick their ass. Right. Because they don't know about politics. Like, they inspired me in a way. I mean, they were, you know, flower children in the 60s and hated war, and they're why I hated war. But I thought to hate war, you had to hate guns. And later, I liked guns and learned that you can like guns, carry a gun, be an ethical gun person, and still hate the man's wars, you know?
Yeah, and you even made a movie about that called Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle.
Yeah, Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle.
Yes, with Jared Waltz. Hey, tell me about Jared Waltz. Where is that guy? I Googled him, and that's all I find is your movie. Can you get training from that guy?
That's the Michael Dean bump right there. That's the effect. Yeah. There's a lot of people that I've done work with that if you Google them, all you see is the thing they did with me. I'm good at that. Yeah, a lot of The Fiend's co-hosts, too.
Well, that guy is very well-spoken. He knows gun safety. Yeah. He just articulates things really well.
Well, you know why he's well-spoken?
I want to take a class from this
guy. You can take a class from him. He's in Northeast Wyoming, and he has a website. I think it's jaredwaltz.com, and I think he has his phone number on there, at least his email.
His link is broken. I guess I could try his email. I'm trying to say
people.
I know.
These people. Didn't I train them well enough? Well, the reason he's so well-spoken, other than he's smart and thinks about what he did, and we did a bunch of, like, on-paper planning before we did that. But he's a member of Toastmasters. Do you know what Toastmasters is?
No, I've never heard of it.
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's an organization for people that want to become better at public speaking, and they have like meetings. They're kind of like AA meetings, but people are drinking, you know. They're like, people get up and they have a featured speaker for the night, and then other people speak, and they have tips and classes on how to speak better. And it's, that's, you know, isn't that cool? Toastmasters.
That sounds like something I'd need.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I was a good public speaker when I was a Mormon because I could speak in their cadence.
Were you a priest?
I was a minister. I was a high priest.
Wow.
The highest of high.
Are you a Jack Mormon?
No, I'm an ex-Mormon, actually.
A Jack Mormon is someone who, like, their parents are still Mormon, but they're kind of half-assed about it?
Yeah, they're still members, but they drink and smoke and have fun with the ladies or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I was actually a full-fledged, active member of the church, and then podcasting woke me up.
Yeah.
I started reading books, started reading history, and one day it just snapped in my head and I was out.
It does. It does.
And it's dangerous. Don't go there. Don't start listening to podcasts like freedomfiends.com.
You brainwash yourself. Well, Jared Waltz is, his website's gone.
Yeah, it's broken, man.
I don't know.
I'm definitely getting it. I'm going to look him up. I'm going to take a class from that guy. He's good.
Okay, well, I can put you in touch with him, but
yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
We brought Masad Ayoub here. You know Masad Ayoub. You talked about him on the show.
I know who he is. But he used to be a cop.
Yeah. Oh, he still is. He's still a New Hampshire cop, actually.
He's not a cop, is he? He's like 90.
Mass Ayoub? Yeah, he's pretty old. Yeah, he's still a cop. He's a reservist cop. He just does it on the weekends.
I think he must have, because the books I read by him, he called himself an ex-cop. I think what happened is probably he went to, you know, he does all these gun training stuffs, and the cops probably showed up. They're like, hey, how would you like to go chase drug dealers again? And, you know, once you have that in your soul, you can't.
Yeah, let's bash some skulls.
Which is funny, because in his book, he also admits to breaking the law a few times, like in serious, like felonious ways.
Interesting, isn't it?
He talks about carrying – I'm pretty sure he talks about carrying a gun in states where it's not legal for him to carry one. And I know that he talks about pulling a gun on somebody that was trying to mug him. I don't think he shot the person, but, you know, it was something where, like – the law-abiding thing to do would be to call the cops afterwards, and he was just like, well, I'm alive. I'm going to get out of here.
Well, when you're a cop, you can carry in all 50 states without any kind of permit.
But he was an ex-cop at this point.
Oh, he's an ex-cop. I think you still can.
Maybe. I don't know if this might have been like 20 years ago before that was passed, because he was definitely talking about, like, you know, he didn't call the cops because he was not permitted to carry in that state.
Yeah, he's a fascinating, well-spoken, really, really smart guy.
Yeah, I like his books.
I like him.
Anyway, I read his books before I was a Liberty guy, and like then I read Boston Tea Party's books, and I was like, okay, this guy's cooler. I like this guy better. Yeah. I'm going to move to his state, have him over for dinner. And I did. And
you're part of the Wyoming Free State Project, right? Where you ask people to actually leave the state.
That's my version of it. Yeah. My goal is to get 20,000 dependency-minded people to move out of my state. That would actually make a huge difference. I mean, Wyoming is like 500,000 people. It's tiny. And most of them are pretty independent-minded, but I'll bet there's 20,000 here who don't contribute anything that we could easily send to.
Yeah, easy.
They'll send them to New Hampshire. Here's a ticket to Ian's house. Go join the Free State Project.
He'll give you a place to live.
He'll give you a job. He'll pay you minimum wage to go chalk on the sidewalk.
Just walk in his front door and sit down on his couch. He'll let you come in.
Yeah, he won't shoot you. He'll come down and friend you on Facebook. You heard that? Did you hear that? That was bizarre.
He'll give you some spam or whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting. Ian's an awesome guy.
I love him. Man, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
So you made this other movie called The Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Yep.
And, you know, when I watched that movie, it just made so much sense to me. It's like, you know, I had opportunities on the gun dudes. I was a statist back then, a bootlicker, as it were. We had a guy ride in once and say, how do you guys feel? I got busted for marijuana in high school, and I had a scale with me, and now I don't have gun rights. You know, and I think we gave the standard answer: well, you should just obey the law. and then years later, I
you have to just obey the law, or some cop that's really high on medically prescribed narcotics will come beat you up.
Come beat you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then when I watched your movie, you just made it clear. I'm like, man, I wish I would have had guns and weed back then. I wish I would have known this stuff.
Yeah.
I could really cause some trouble on that podcast. It would have been great.
Are you still on that podcast?
No, they pod faded.
Oh, what podcast are this we're doing tonight?
This is the Rogue Gunner podcast.
Ah, okay.
Just me and Chaz Murray. It's his podcast, really. I'm a co-host, but...
aren't you the Mad Trucker or something?
No, he's the unnamed trucker. I'm Maverick T. Maverick McQuiggy. So.
Maverick T. Cantwell Googleson.
Yeah. Oh.
Can't Goo. You're not him. No.
He's me. Good.
People say I'm him. Yeah.
I think it is you. Actually, somebody said it was DJ, your wife.
She hates the internet, man. She hates social networking. She's funny. Yeah. It's a good thing, too. She's on the computer all the time, but at work, and then at home, she's like, she plays puzzle games. She really likes them.
Yeah.
But
my wife can't understand all this either. She just doesn't get it.
Yeah. My wife calls it my imaginary friends. She says it lovingly, but it's like, oh, you can go talk to your imaginary friends, huh?
So me and my wife went on a walk today, and I was trying to explain it to her. I'm like, okay, it's like if your star's from Downton Abbey, you had a chance to talk to them on the phone, it would be like that. And she's like, no, I still don't think I'd want to do it. Come on, gosh.
Wow.
So anyway, it's pretty funny. So yeah. what kind of gun training have you had? Did you take it from Jared Waltz? Where'd you start?
I learned a lot yeah. from you think I know what I'm talking about?
Well, you seem like you know what you're talking about when you talk about guns.
Dude, you know what I'm doing right now? It's the coolest thing in the world.
What's that?
Did you listen to Fiends tonight?
Yeah, it was great.
I'm using the Fiends app on my Android right now while we're talking.
Oh, no kidding.
You know what's cool about that?
Can you adjust your oxygen levels?
Yeah. You know what's cool about that? Nobody has it. It's like I have it and no one else has it. It's pretty bizarre. That's cool. Yep. Yep.
That's cool.
Yep.
Well, you created some technology, one called Fiendphone.
I helped. I'm not a programmer, though. I didn't, like, do that.
It was your brainchild.
I told a guy what it needed to be and then worked with him on it. And then really, like, a lot of what I did on that was writing the documentation. Because it's, as you noticed, it's not very intuitive to just use. And so, you know, I wrote the website for that. The documentation is a complete, like, how to do audio on no money and Fiendphone. I mean, it's like, it's probably like four chapters in a tech book on one website. That's what's going to be kind of cool about this app. And this is what's kind of cool about apps is I don't think this will need any documentation. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, like, it has like 16 buttons. They're all brightly colored. The listen ones have a headphone. You know, the podcast ones have a microphone. The Bipcot one has a Bipcot. It's like, I don't think you even have to be able to read to use this. So,
kids these days, they don't know how it used to be where you had to read. It's like a baby toy. You have to use your hands.
It really is, man. These kids today.
That's an old Back to the Future reference. I think it was Back to the Future 2. Anyway, what else I got for you? I don't know. You know, you've done so much in your life. You got to be proud of that, man. You're going to look back and go, you got to have no regrets. You got any regrets? I mean, you've been a punk rock star.
I have regrets with smoking cigarettes. That's my only regret. I don't regret shooting heroin. I don't regret shooting speed. I don't regret having lots of sex with lots of dirty women and a couple men and a dog. I mean, that thing that you did of, I mean, that guy did of Cantwell.
Yeah.
Where he's like, that's my memory. I just put Cantwell in my place. That's me, man.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
I mean, how do you think that I was so like, okay, now it needs this. Okay, now it needs it. Now put the mirror up, but he looks different in the mirror than he really does. Now put some women's panties on him. From memory.
There's coke in there somewhere, man.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Okay, now the coke doesn't look like coke. You got to make it bigger. It doesn't read. Okay, but I regret smoking cigarettes two packs a day for 30 years because it messed up my health, and I'm really suffering from it now. I think it's recoverable. Like, I don't have COPD, which you cannot recover from. It only gets worse. I have just, like, incredibly bad asthma and allergies that I never had until, like, a year ago. Yeah. But it's actually better than it was 6 months ago. 6 months ago, I felt like I was drowning. Now I just feel like, I'm just out of breath all the time.
You sound fantastic. And the show's much better with you, I got to tell you that.
Yeah.
It's good to have Michael W. Dean back on the show.
Well, I got to say I like my Fiends, and I like that they stepped up to the plate and did the show, you know. I mean, last week I did both hours of all four nighttime shows that week. I haven't done that in 9 months. And tonight, this week I'm probably going to do that too, and I'm doing this interview right after a Fiend show. So,
yeah.
I'm a little winded.
And I kind of buried the lead. I didn't even introduce you at all, but yeah.
I need no introduction.
Yes, you don't.
Now, go ahead. For people who don't know, go ahead.
Well, you created the Fiends. It was a podcast, and it became a syndicated radio show. You have, plus 30 stations that you play in across the nation?
I thought you were going to say plus 30 hosts. I'm like, there aren't that many.
No, there's no, like 20 on a spit.
We got 32. It's like 18 on a spit. Well, the thing is, there's ones that I don't even know if they're Fiend hosts anymore. Like, Davi Barker said he might come back someday, but he's busy. And he's great. And then the guy that does the School Sucks podcast, Brett Vinat, he's listed as a Fiends co-host, but like, he hasn't answered like the last 10 group emails I sent out to the Fiends and like the one I sent out to him going, so are you still a host? You know, So well,
that's,
I don't know.
That's because he went and did the racial agenda podcast, and he's like tainted.
He did. Yeah, he's cuckwell now.
He's cuckwelled.
Yeah,
it messes with your brain.
I want people to start using the word subby instead of cuck.
I heard that.
Yeah, submissive.
What does subby mean? I missed that.
Like a woman or man who's in a BDSM relationship that I mean, cuckolding is a kink too. It's like,
sure,
you know, I mean, it actually is a biological term. It comes from the cuckoo, because the cuckoo bird, in biology, it doesn't mean necessarily what it means with humans. In biology, it usually means that it's an animal that is cuckolded. It is an animal that another animal will sneak into their lair and like lay and put one of their eggs in its nest. And then the cuckold raises the young of the other one, without possibly knowing. Not even knowing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and in kink, it's supposed to be someone who like gets off on watching another dude with his wife. But there's also, I know it's not me, man, but then there's also submissives and dominants, which are people that have a power play and it's consensual. And, you know, I mean, a subby guy would be a guy that, like, you know, licks the boot of his mistress and cleans her toilet with a toothbrush on command. That's a subby.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You used to have a podcast where you guys would talk about this kind of stuff, right?
Submission and Coffee with Dalai Lama. Yeah. My wife and I would have sex, audio only, and then talk about cats and shoes and stuff.
Kitty's penises with barbs on them.
That picture, man. I can't unsee that.
Let's
cats
not
are evil.
I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, don't bury the lead.
Click on it.
Yeah. Right.
Kitty penis.
Man.
Oh man. I showed my wife. She's like, that can't be real. That's
we have cats. We have to get rid of our cats.
I wish I had barbs. No, hey, man, this has been great, brother.
Been great. Where are you going? I'm just getting started. Hang on, let me save this file, and then we'll do more.
All right.
Hang on. Do you got to go? No. I think there should be a BIPCOT licensed breathalyzer that makes sure you're drunk enough to be on the drunk private road in Libpear.
You got to blow into it.
Yep.
I had my first drink when I was 35.
Mormons. I had my last drink when I was 30, man. That's funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah, 35.
No, actually, I had my last drink. Well, I got sober. I wasn't really drinking much. I was doing heroin by the time I got clean and sober. But I had my last drugs 2 weeks after my 30th birthday in 1994.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Where was I in 1994?
I was stopping before you were starting.
I was in, 93, 94. I was in London, England as a missionary in 1994. Yep.
Wow.
My 20th birthday, I sat on a wall eating a sandwich going, this is my life. It was great. 24 hours with another guy.
No homo.
You beat me to it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Something about traveling around Europe with another guy sounds kind of gay to me.
Knocking on people's doors.
Knocking on people's doors.
Hey, let us in.
Let us in.
Yeah. We got some good stuff for you.
A couple weeks ago. So I disabled my... We have a lot of those here. You know, Wyoming is Utah North. We have a lot of those people come to the house. And also, like, other Jehovah's Witnesses, just straight up, you know, Baptists, whatever. I just get a lot of people knocking my door, or ringing my bell. So I just disabled my doorbell.
Perfect. We had the same thing. We did the same thing.
So people just stand out there. Just
pushing a button.
Pushing a button. And they don't really know that it's, like, you know, connected to the testicles of the cop I have tied up in the basement. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So.
Hashtag no homo.
Hashtag no cockroach. Okay, so. But I was in the living room, and I noticed the shadow of someone out there. So I looked through there, and it's two ladies. One of them has an acoustic. It's like freezing out. One of them has an acoustic guitar, and the other's blind. Like this blind. She has the blind lady, you know, the cane with her white with the red stripe on it. I'm like, man, I really want to let these people in and mess with them and talk to them about liberty, but I'm not gonna.
You should have pulled your guitar out and said, "Let's jam, ladies."
I should have said, "I'd hit it. I'd hit it. Come on in."
I did that. Yeah.
I'd hit it, but we got to wait for my wife. She'll be home soon. I'll spank you with a Bible.
She likes to cut this.
You could kiss her feet while she kisses mine.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, man. So you said the other day on your show that you bought your first vehicle when you were like 28 and your band wouldn't let you get up to 30.
Yeah.
Is that a true story?
It's more like
driving podcast. This is a truck driving podcast.
So bought my first van. First vehicle. Okay. First of all, if it's a vehicle show and you want to go there, I failed my driving test the first time when I was like 16. I took it again, like after I moved out of the house, and I was like, I moved out when I was 18, and like, I was like 21 the next time I took my driving test, and I passed it. It was in Virginia. While I was taking it, there was an earthquake in Virginia.
Oh, it's a sign.
It's a sign. There's not many earthquakes in Virginia.
Back out of the door slowly.
So then I moved out to California not too long after, and I bought my first vehicle. I was 23, and my band wouldn't let me drive it until I was like 27. I was a bad driver. I was a really, really bad driver, and they were all really good drivers. You know what they would do? And they wouldn't tell me this, too. They would use acid to stay up and drive all night instead of speed.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of truck drivers that do that.
Acid?
Usually it's acid, though. Not acid.
Acid. LSD.
Acid.
They would like microdose. They would take like a quarter hit of acid, of really strong acid. Well, I think it was – I think if they'd had speed, they would have done speed. But it was like the roadie had a sister that was an acid dealer or something. So he'd bring like sheets of acid, like blotter acid that was like 1,000 on one sheet. And he'd bring he was dealing them too, like at our shows. I didn't know this until later. But yeah, like – and they didn't like me being on drugs because I was so weird. So like they would all be on psychedelics and not let me have any and not tell me. And I just got so used to their weirdness that I didn't even know usually. But wow.
We got here fast. Yeah, we were chasing dragons.
Crazy. Yeah, the cops tried to pull us over, but then we just drove between the raindrops and they couldn't see us. Yeah.
They couldn't see us anymore.
Yeah, I remember. Okay, let's see. I remember this band called RKL from San Francisco. It was Rich Kids on LSD. The bass player is a friend of mine. He died not too many years ago of hepatitis A, B, and C. How's that for a rock and roll death?
Oh,
it's actually not a very good death. It's a long, slow, painful death.
Yeah, it doesn't sound pretty.
Yeah, and it doesn't leave a good-looking corpse. But RKL used to they used to tour the country in this van that was like all painted up. It said Rich Kids on LSD with skulls and dancing bears, and like they were like punk rockers that liked the Grateful Dead, but were really like mean, crazy punk rockers. But they would tour with a keg. Like, talk about open container. They had a platform set up to have a full keg of beer between the driver's seats, like behind the firewall.
I was going to say, the riding on that car, wouldn't that just be like, say, "Hey, pull me over."
I don't know how they got away with something. It, man.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we were really like conservative in how we presented ourselves. Like my van had no bumpers. It had one bumper sticker and it said, "If it ain't country, it ain't music." We bought it at Graceland.
You didn't have a sticker that said bomb on the side?
No. But we did get – I remember one time we got pulled over in California. We got pulled over coming back from a gig, and cops looked in the van like, we didn't say you could search it, but, the sliding door opens up, and they stuck the flashlight in there, and he said, "What's in the big red case marked bomb?" I was biting my teeth to not say, "Well, officer, sir, sometimes we forget where we put it, so we marked it." It was my bass amp, but
yeah, right on.
Yeah, so let's see, this guy. Do you remember? God, what was the other guy? He did that song "Elvis Is Everywhere." Mojo Nixon. He actually toured for a couple years using license plates that weren't license plates that he bought at Graceland that said "Elvis 1 Tennessee." Like, you can buy them in the gift shop there. He bought those and put them on his van and toured for 2 years and never got pulled
That's
over.
Amazing. You'd never get away with that now. They got those scanners.
They shoot you.
Yeah, just fold up a red sign.
You know, it's weird. Here's a. I don't know if we're going to. I think we need to wrap up because I'm not losing my voice yet. But if I do another half hour, I'll be suffering tomorrow. So,
yeah, man. Yeah, my voice is raw too.
Let's talk a little bit about this one thing about freedom. I feel like on paper we have less freedom than we had. You know, I'm saying we. It's like the mouse in my pocket. I'm being collectivist, but you know, we liberty people in America have, on paper, a lot less freedom than we had 20 years ago, but I feel a lot more free than I felt 20 years ago. How about you?
Oh, I do too. This is amazing. How else would you talk to somebody in Wyoming right now?
Yeah, part of it's technology.
2 o'clock in the morning.
It really
is.
Technology.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I can remember, okay, let's see, 1999, when my first novel came out, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, I got a call from someone who wanted to interview me on the radio in Sausalito, California, which isn't that far from San Francisco. It's like a hop, you know, it's 10 miles by car. So across the Golden Gate Bridge, and there you are. So, but it was kind of out in the sticks. So I didn't have a car, and I couldn't get anybody to take me. So I had to take buses there. And it was like 4 buses, and I had to get up at like 4 a.m. to get there by 9 a.m. for this interview. And like, I did the interview for like a half hour, and it was a community station. It was probably 100 watts. There were probably 100 people listening, but it was like, I gladly jumped through hoops and spent 4 hours one way on buses and like 2.5 hours back on buses to talk to 100 people on the radio. And it's like every day now I talk to thousands of people on the radio without leaving my chair. How cool is that?
That's amazing.
And like this literally couldn't have been done. Like, first of all, 20 years ago, there's no way in heck I would have gotten syndicated on radio. Like, I got kicked off college radio when I was in college. I was too weird. But even if I could have gotten syndicated, the reason we're on radio now is because radio's dying. Like, the Fiends could have been on at the beginning or the end, but not in the heyday, you know, not in the 80s.
You think you'll ever hang it up and just do the podcast, or you think you'll stay on radio as long as possible?
I think I'll do radio until we get kicked off enough stations that we're kind of like, all right, let's just cuss and make it a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm looking at the Fiends app right now. I'm looking at like, you know, who needs radio? Here's an example of like why radio's dying. I live in Casper, Wyoming. We're on the radio here. It's pretty cool. Like, I got us on the radio here because it's here. We're on a station and it plays delayed, so I get to hear it. Like, our Saturday and Sunday show play an hour after the show here.
That's cool.
But, and it's a 1,000-watt transmitter, which is pretty powerful, and it's not that far away. If I could get up on my roof, I could see the antenna. It's like a mile away, probably.
Yeah.
We sound better on the podcast than we do on that station.
Oh, I know it.
It's like,
I started listening to your Salt Lake City feed at 2 o'clock in the morning when it airs, and I'm just like, oh, I can't I can't do this.
Yeah.
And not only do he have to listen to tons of commercials like paranormaldating.com.
Paranormaldate.com. I made up a motto for them. I can't say this on my show because we're not. I say paranormaldate.com. It's not cheating if you're sleeping with a ghost. Which is funny because it's not really what it's about. It's about dating people who are into the paranormal. But to me, it sounds like, you know, Ashley Madison for ghosts or something.
The Church of the Invisible Hand Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, I would still be an ignorant, homophobic mainstream Mormon. If I didn't have podcasting, because I have dyslexia, I don't read well. I mean, I can read in my head really well. I can't read out loud, but I don't have time to sit down and read books.
Think about it, though. I mean, to a lot of people, they'd be like, I'd do anything to be on radio. And I'm kind of like, ugh, we have to like be so square for radio. And there's all those ads and it sounds fuzzy if you're not right next to it. But you know what? Think about this. There are hundreds of square Mormons, homophobic Mormons in Salt Lake City and the St. George area, because we're on the radio there, too.
Yeah.
Who hear the Fiends who would never, ever, ever hear us otherwise.
That's true. There's a lot of people from St. George that call Free Talk Live.
Yeah, and they're always pissed. I've noticed that.
Well, there's a strange libertarian bend to Mormonism. It's very constitutional.
Well, it was anti-government. I mean,
Yeah, they were secessionists. I mean, yeah. That's why they founded.
Although they pushed out, you know, they got rid of the things that the government hated, the multiple wives, and they kind of like, you know, the government basically killed the people with any fire in their belly. That's what happened. Same thing as the Indians.
And they became uber patriotic.
Yeah.
So patriotic. It's crazy. Yeah, it's gross. Yep. You know, those guys in Oregon,
they're Mormons. Like,
oh, yeah. And there's an underlying band people missed. I mean, there's actual recent prophets that have said that there will be members of the church that will save the Constitution. It will not be saved in Washington. It will be saved by them. And I believe they were taking that literally, and they were thinking, I'm going to be that guy.
Yep.
I'm going to be the one that starts this revolution to get back to the Constitution.
Man.
Now, people miss that, but yep. I caught it. I caught it right away. So.
Yep.
Because I was one of them. Yeah, Michael, this has been awesome.
Yep.
I'm going to let you go.
Thank you, brother, man. Let me know when it's
out.
I'll send you the file within an hour.
Okay, cool.
Okay, you're going to like add an intro and outro, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll send you two 320K MP3s. How's that?
Yeah, that'd be great, brother.
All right.
Thanks so much.
You know what this is? You know what this is? It's the Fiends app. All right. Oh, I hit pause. Sorry. Okay. That was the first sharing of the Fiends app. All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Thanks. Worms.
Bye.
Worms. Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I'd like to thank Michael Dean for coming on the show. That's about going to wrap it up. I had a good time. Did you? It was quite an interesting podcast, wasn't it? If you enjoyed it, check out Freedom Fiends at freedomfiends.com. for a variety of liberty action on his podcast about 5 or 6 times a week. You can also check out Jim Jesus's podcast, Loberts, and anything on LRN.fm to get a little bit of liberty in your life. Don't forget to get a good dose of gun podcasting. And we haven't mentioned the Gun Nation podcast in a while. Check those guys out. And Tony Brown at Firearms Cafe and the Armed Apes podcast is always good. Who else am I forgetting? Oh, yeah. Why don't we all write to Gail? Tell her to put out a Pro-Arms podcast. It's been a while, Gail. We need you to put out a good one for us. How about it? All right. That's going to do it for me this week. And for the Unnamed Trucker and Nick at the New Shooter podcast, I'm signing out saying, keep your nose clean and your fifth wheel greasy. I'm gone. Worms.